those who've been victimized. So for those of you who are upset, you're going to be upset. When it comes to people in positions of authority abusing kids, it's not just, you know, the pastor or the superintendent. It's right in the own home, the own family members. And so very often the abusers are much closer to home, than people anticipate. And so the authority figures all swarm around the abuser to protect him and the secret, instead of protecting the children, which is my pet peeve. I do not understand that particular mentality. I do get family first, but isn't the least one in your family the one you protect above all? So when you look at what we do individually as family units, it's no wonder that you have this same setup when it comes to organizations. If I'm going to protect my family members, from, you know, abusing somebody right in my own home, of course that stuff is going to spread to, well, this is my particular organization, and money is involved and reputation is involved, and goodwill is involved. We will lose what we are gaining, in terms, you know, of finances, in terms of clout, in terms of power, position, influence, if this were to get out. So it's no wonder you've got, you know, the Catholic Church protecting priests. It's no wonder that you've got, you know, places like a school district protecting a superintendent, or you've got athletic organizations protecting a doctor who's, they know, have been molesting athletes for generations almost. It's just what people tend to do. So it's kind of why I don't really feel bad for people when they do get caught and they do have such harsh alternatives. You know, people complain, well, once they're on, you know, they're listed as sex offenders, they can't get jobs, they can't live in certain places. Good, because they have already shown that when they do have access to children, when they are close to a school, or, you know, they have access to their information like a superintendent or a teacher, that they abuse that authority and they can't be trusted. So why would you put them in tempting surroundings where they live close to a school? Why would you allow them to work in a daycare setting? Mm-hmm. So the central registry system that we have in Arkansas, if you abuse, I think other states have it as well, but if you abuse an adult, or if you abuse a child, I mean, a child or an adult, you know, who's sick or whatnot and needs help, then your name will go in the system and it will affect your ability to be employed. Just like the criminal side will affect, you know, the fact that you have to register as a sex offender, the fact that you have to be careful about where you live, because those particular people have already proven that they cannot be trusted with the authority coming with being an adult, not just a public figure. You know, if you are a senator, taking advantage of the people who work for you, that's bad. But if you're an adult using your authority as an adult over a child just to cower this child into being your sex toy, that's just as bad, if not worse, because this particular child can't protect themselves the way, say, an aide can walk away from a job and get another job. So I personally think that we as a society, while no, you shouldn't take those liberties away from people until they have been proven guilty, we definitely need to do more in terms of protecting those who would abuse any authority that they have that would allow them, you know, to sexually assault or otherwise abuse a child or another adult.
I would love for them to go before Judge Ann. I sure would. I sure would. Oh, boy. Oh, my goodness. Oh, that's right.
That wouldn't be pretty.
No, partner. You don't go to her jurisdiction. Do not. You don't. No, better still go. Please ask for Judge Ann. See what happens. Absolutely. Oh, but you know, I tell you what, and then you have to, and let's talk about what happens to trafficked babies. They often have no access to education or opportunity for social and emotional development. Okay. Now, I would say that a baby is just simply kidnapped, because most babies, I don't know what age they get on the internet these days. You have children 3, 4, and 5 years old that can work a computer better than I can. But, I don't think that's the situation. They're mainly just, maybe just kidnapped, just like those young girls you were talking about earlier, Ann. And the family uprooted everything, had to leave everything behind. I'm sure just good jobs, their home, all of their belongings and everything, right? Now, children exploited for domestic servitude and forced labor can suffer physical injuries, develop problems with their emotional health, and can be denied access to an education. But, you know, I would say it goes a little deeper than that, because someone who this happens to as a child, this is something, and I don't know how, I'm sure that some therapy will help, but is there something that they will ever forget about? I think that when we talk about therapy, it's just a way of dealing with it and not feeling that it's your fault, you know, or whatever it is, right? And obviously, I think therapy is necessary, especially from a good therapist. Okay, a good therapist. And I'm making that distinction there because all therapists aren't.
All right. Say it louder.
They aren't good. They aren't good at what they do. Okay. And no telling what their motivation other than a paycheck is to even go into that field. Okay. Mm-hmm. I would think that if I were, or if anyone were to go into that field, then you would have to have some empathy and understanding and really want to, help out. I understand also that some people that's in the field, and I do know someone personally, I'm not going to call his name, that was involved in that and helping children therapeutically through that. And it got so emotionally overwhelming for him that he had to quit. He couldn't do it anymore. It was just so traumatic on his behalf. Hearing these stories after stories, these horrific stories that he had to leave. And he loved it. He loved doing that, but it was just something that was just taking such a toll on him that he had to leave that field of work, that vocation, you see? So, but can you imagine how the victim, what the victim is going through, Dr. Demery? This is, it's horrendous. So I don't know whether it's, I don't know, but folks, I like I said, I wish that, Dr. Sims was here, but perhaps we can add something to this, Dr. Demery. Do you think that's a sign of mental illness? Not to give them an excuse or let them off the hook, because I still think that it should be given punishment to the full extent of the law. But do you think that this is a sign of mental illness?
Well, I would definitely think that on the report.
Breaking up.
Am I breaking up now?
That better? Better now.
Yeah, start over, please.
I would say that each person needs to be assessed on an individual basis before we begin any passing of judgment.
I didn't say give them a pass. Nope, no passes.
Oh, but what I'm about ready to say, this is going back to something Mike was saying about our moral dilemma and the degradation, demise of American society. And it's going to upset some people, but don't get afraid. I'm not going to upset too many people, but it's going to upset some people. Part of the problem is this. We have an illicit extent of liberalism, because but there's an illicit extent of liberalism and there's an illicit extent of conservatism. Try to find a balance somewhere between the two in the middle. And in doing that, you sometimes make mistakes. If those mistakes are made, society is the one to suffer. I think that's part of where the problem is in this whole issue. When we talk about morals and we talk about the devil, like in Luke, it talks about the devil like a rage going to and fro, whom they can destroy, you know? And when Jesus told people, the devil has sought to sift you like sand. You know what that means? To go to the beach and pick up a piece of sand, a handful of sand, it will just trickle through your finger. That's part of what happens. If we try to draw a line of demarcation, liberalism, extensive liberalism, and illicit conservatism. That's why we're having issues of what's going on in Florida. People go to bed, mother calls and just like a book that you are reading that the teacher has brought to the class and it's five books. You know, that's throwing the bathwater and the baby out at the same time. That, right, nor is being...
You're breaking up again.
Nor is it to be extensively liberal to try to find a justification therein as well. So I think that's part of where the problem is, William. I hope that answers your question. I was trying to address some of the things that you were saying in terms of the degradation of moral society, you know. And I've said this before, and I'll end with this. I've said it before, and I'm going to say it again. I don't consider myself a prophet. I do not. But we all need to be in the spirit of prophecy. Things are going to get worse, people. They get much worse. And like I said before, William even heard me say this, and he kind of laughed at me, but there's truth behind it. The revolution is not going to be televised.
All right.
It's going to be live. It's going to be in, you know, whether you're a pre-trib, post-trib, on-the-letting, whatever you are. If you believe anything of what Daniel and Revelation is talking about, and book banned, so you can't use the Book of Enoch as an example, but there is going to be a time where things are going to get so bad that moral society is going to completely break down.
Amen.
You know, I tell you, and speaking of, see, this thing, knowledge is power. And not to get off too far on this, but there was a governor of Illinois. He was talking about the educational system in Illinois versus the educational system in Florida. And there's a vast difference between the two. Florida is way down on the list, where Illinois is number three, I believe, in the country. And he ended the speech by saying, or he added in the speech while he was talking, that he said, we don't ban books here. But the point is, I think that growing up, my mom monitored what we did as far as what we were reading. You know, she monitored that. Oh, there's Kim Rogers there. Hey, Kim Rogers out of Longview, Texas. And she monitored, because one day I was reading something I wasn't supposed to. Yep. Mm-hmm. I got slapped for it. Sure did.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Sure. I was so engrossed in this material that I wasn't supposed to be reading. I didn't even hear it come in the room. Next thing I know,
that was a good one.
Yeah. The next thing I know, I was seeing stars. Oh, absolutely. No question about it. But no, we have to pay attention to what our children are doing. You have to be vigilant. It is amazing, amazing, amazing stuff. But what I wanted to get to was, see, folks, we're talking about people of trust. Now, I'm not going to say that I trust any politician, okay? I'm not saying that. But they are put in a position of trust because they are paid for, elected to govern and make laws that are supposed to be beneficial to society as a whole. There was a politician, well, he's a congressman by the name of Mike Moon. He defended child marriage, okay? And I think this was back in April, touting the apparently successful marriage of two people he knows who got married when they were 12.
Right, that was successful. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He's talking, well, they're still together. Good Lord. Who out there will allow your son or your daughter to get married at the age of 12?
Somebody with some real sick... Oh, let me stop. Okay, never mind.
No, go on, please, because you have to understand, if this guy is touting this, Mike, do you think that he might also double as a perpetrator, or he might be involved in that if he condones this. Okay.
Because he possibly had bias.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Listen to what people say.
Watch what they do.
Oh. Even better.
Do. That's telling. Not necessarily what they say, because you and I and everyone here on the panel, we all kind of have the gift of gab, and we can spin quite a yarn. But forget what the politicians are saying. Watch what they do. And again, follow the money. Whose pocket are they in? You've heard me say many times, and I apologize for what I'm about to say, but politicians to me they're liars, cheats, thieves, and whores.
Mm. Don't apologize for that.
And power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely.
Yeah.
And we've gone about this system of allowing people to be in office I'm not sliding anyone, but look at our current president. He's been in office for, 50 years? Mm. Or more? I'm not sure. He's been in office for a really long time.
Yes.
Yeah, he has been in politics for a very long time.
Several decades.
Right? Yeah. I want to stop there because I don't want to demean anybody like that. But just as an example, these politicians, they become career lifetime politicians. I don't think that's good for America. I don't think that's good for society because they are in a position where they out of human nature, Dr. Demery will back me up on this as well. Human nature is that we are corruptible. Mm-hmm. We just are because we're creatures and we want the best for ourselves. So we develop our own bias.
Mm.
And it's unfortunate that occurs, but, if we as a society don't allow that to occur or do our absolute best to shake our finger or spank people who do evil things with the position they're in.
Well, that's
picture
the,
just went away.
You're
Am
not
still
the
there?
Only one who says that. I mean, that's it's, right. They've been talking about it quite a bit that, well, it's just old white dudes in American politics running things. I mean that, Joe Biden is about to be 80 years old. I don't have anything against Joe Biden. As a matter of fact, he runs again. I'll vote for him. Don't have a problem with it. But I think a lot of the reason why we have the outcomes that we have are because we don't have an influx of young people engaged in, politics the way that we should. I think that's changing because of what's been happening. You've mm-hmm. got a lot more young people who are upset because politicians haven't done anything about gun control. I mean, I was very glad to see, you know, to see the activism of the teenagers in Florida who were survivors of that massacre on Valentine's Day. Become a lot more vocal. Mm-hmm. And they've gotten to the point now where they're old enough to participate in politics. And you know, they've made it their goals to say, I'm coming for you. I don't blame them for that. And during, you know, May 2020, when George Floyd was brutally murdered, you had a lot of young African American people, leading the forefront when it came to protest, Black Lives Matter. There's a lot that needs to happen in terms of the younger generation stepping up. And they are doing a lot. I'm not taking anything from those who are working on climate change initiatives and those types of things. The problem is what you have are a lot of people have been in this system for a long time who are in power for good or for bad. I don't think Joe Biden is one of the bad ones. I think you had a lot of people who were in politics for a long time, like the Jeff Sessions of the world, who helped to bring about the Trumps. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And I say Trumps because you now have people cloning themselves to be like him. Ron DeSantis, he's basically a clone of Trump. You got Marjorie Taylor Greene. She's sort of a female clone of Trump. You got the Lauren Boebert.
Matt Gaetz, Jim Jordan.
Right. So they are mimicking what they see. They've seen him do and it's kind of taken off. And so we need basically somebody on the other side of that who can be that, that type of catalyst for the next generation so that we don't mess around and get to the point where we were years before. Because if you know your history, this is a similar setup to what happened before the Civil War. This is a similar setup to what happened, and economically speaking, before the Great Depression. So you've got both of those things clashing together at the same time. Not only do you have the economic dynamic, but you've got the racial tension that you had before, in addition to so many other things, immigration, politics, and even religion. All this stuff together, it's only going to stay in that pressurized environment for a time. It's like, you know, boiling something with a lid on it. Eventually, the bubbles will take the lid off of that thing, and it's going to spill over.
I wonder how much of that is by design, where if they can divide and conquer us.
Oh, yeah.
You can divide these two sides, and this side hates this side, regardless of whether you like them or not. If they can keep us fighting at each other's backs and fighting amongst themselves, then they win. They end up with the control one way or the other.
That's
so I wonder how much of this is actually contrived.
The devil doesn't have any new tricks. This is the same. They've been doing this over and over and over and over.
Because it works.
It works.
It does work.
It works.
It does work. And I tell you something, and I agree with you also, Mike, about giving these guys a lifetime politicians. Now, we can vote out a congressman after 2 years. We can vote out a senator after 6 years. But what about the Supreme Court justices? That should be term limits on that. Good gracious. Somebody I can't stand is Clarence Thomas. Can't stand him. And because for various reasons, I'm going to tell you, look, when Anita Hill, when she accused him years ago, I watched that testimony. I could look at his face. I could tell he was lying, right? Cause, oh boy, I think he drank more water than he ever had because his lips were getting dry. Okay. You could look at his eyes moving all around his head, right? Body language tells you a lot of things about people. And now this latest scandal that he's hooked up with, taking all of these, trips and money and property, being able to sell property. And he's not the only one up there. And guess what? They are, now, you're talking about somebody that's above the law? The Supreme Court is truly above the law. You can't touch them. They have lifetime appointments. That is dead wrong.
Look, William, that's not the way it was intended to work, okay? When the Constitution was created, what it was supposed to be is a system, unlike any other ones, that allowed you to have these checks and balances. So, on the one hand, you have the lifetime appointees who were the judicial branch making up the Supreme Court.
Okay.
And what they do is interpret the law. That's their function. That's supposed to be what they do, interpret the law.
Mm-hmm.
Then you have, of course, the Congress made up of the House of Representatives and the Senate, and they create the laws, meaning they pass the bills. Then they send it to the executive branch, which is the president, and he is the one who is supposed to, carry out their wishes. Okay. That's what his function is supposed to be. But no one group is supposed to have so much power that they can basically, make this like a dictatorship. That was the whole plan. Now, It worked to a degree until you get these moments in time where people's ideology, their politics, their greed, their personal aspirations, their racism, whatever you want to call it, butt heads with the system. So what you had to develop this time around is not only are they butting heads with the system, but they have shaped an environment so that you've got a lot of people with the same ideology in the House and the Senate. You've got a lot of people with the same ideology who are on the judicial branch. And so we're no longer just interpreting laws. It's looking a lot like they're trying to make laws.
Yeah, it sounds like
the way that they want them to be. And that's where things are breaking down. I do believe that for this, you know, 21st century, that we are going to have to get on a consensus that there are some things about the Constitution that need, you know, a 21st century remake. Like, for instance, we need to get rid of the what is that thing that only we do when it's time for us to vote, the Electoral College. Yeah, we need to get rid of the Electoral College.
Should have been gone.
Yeah. It was necessary perhaps back then, but it's not anymore. I think we've lost a whole lot of good presidents because of it. If we'd had Al Gore, who won the popular vote and should have been the president of the United States, I don't think climate change would be nearly as bad as it is today. I think we would have made a lot of good changes earlier than we are now. And not just us, we would have led the world to do the same thing. So I think the world would have benefited a lot more. And it's our fault for letting this go on too long. Mm. And not just that, we need to vote in overall our electoral process, because on the one hand, it's one thing for Congress to make laws about the Voting Rights Act. It's another thing for the Supreme Court to interpret those laws. Mm-hmm. Because of them, you have had more and more erosion of the Voting Rights Act, because of affirmative action and a lot of other things. So I think we as the people need to be allowed to vote on changes to the Constitution itself to codify what we believe constitutes voting rights and what we believe constitutes somebody violating a person's right to vote. And trying to suppress the vote. And those are just a couple of things. I personally think there are a lot of other things that we need to set a rights by changing the Constitution of the United States and adding an amendment. But those are just like the big two, because if we don't and things continue to go the way that they are with all the gerrymandering mm-hmm. by the Republicans, you have them manipulating, you know, the votes so much so that a minority of people are ruling over the majority of the people. And that is not something that's supposed to happen in America.
That's right.
You really do need to go ahead and nip this in the bud before we actually do get a dictator, because you got Ron DeSantis, you know, giving it a test run at how to, you know, transform one part of America into a dictatorship, and everybody's going along with it. Trump tried it. He was the test run. DeSantis may be the one to get it done. I think I told y'all when Trump was in office to look out for what he would do when it was time for him to leave, because he was not going to accept it well, and mm-hmm. he didn't. And then the next problem is who's going to come behind him, who's worse, because when you think about it, you've had the Jeff Sessions and other people, you know, the McConnells and the Lindsey Grahams, all of them who were the closet racists saying all the right things at the right time, supposedly denying what they were. But now it's all out in the open. You know, it's not that Black people were being paranoid. It's not that we're being racially sensitive. We were saying for years, these people, particularly very often in the Republican Party, are racist, and they've shown their true colors. So now you've got it where you get a person who knows the right things to say, that plays to the more conservative, let's keep it all under wraps Republicans. Then what's going to happen? I think it's a recipe for disaster. I think we're going to have more and more tension, and that pot's going to boil over.
I agree with you 1,000%. And it doesn't make any sense to me how, I believe the Electoral College is 500 and plus participants.
It's as old as the Constitution.
Okay. So I don't care. Which way, you know, whether you're voting Republican or whether you're voting Democrat, to me, the majority of the people in the country should decide. Okay. Mm-hmm. And if you win by 100 votes, then you should, and everybody participated who wanted to participate. I'm not talking this story. Let's put the electoral college aside for a second. You win. There's no way in the world, that you're going to win, or you're going to win the popular vote by 3 million, like Hillary Clinton. Now, a lot of people, don't like Hillary Clinton, especially Republicans. They didn't like her. And I don't know whether it was because she was a woman. Okay. Some of that had to do with, you have, some guys, and some women out here that will not vote for a woman. Mm-hmm. Okay. And that's fact. That is a fact. But let's get back to the real point. If you win, you win. There shouldn't be 500 people to decide the direction of the country. That is absolutely ludicrous. That is ludicrous. It makes no sense to me at all. And there's a reason why these clowns up in D.C., they're keeping this archaic system around. There's a reason for it. Okay? The Democrats don't want to get rid of it. The Republicans don't want to get rid of it. My question is why? And also, I'm going to add this little caveat. And it was denied. It was denied, denied, denied. And I'm tired of these politicians talking about Russia, 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 and nothing happened. You didn't find anything. Stop lying to me. Stop lying to me. All you have to do is read the Mueller report. All you have to do is read it. The parts that I did get a chance to see. It didn't say, yes, Russia was involved. Got a question for the panel. Is it easier to manipulate 500 people versus 150 million? Well, I already know the answer to that. It's easier to get to, if Russia interfered, don't you think it's a possibility, Mike, that they could have gone after the Electoral College? That's a much easier group of people to sway or persuade or even bribe.
You know, election interference has been going on as long as elections have occurred. And I will tell you from what I know from my young history is America got involved in all kinds of other South America and everywhere else influencing their elections. So yep. There's no halo on America with regard to influencing other countries' elections as well. So, it's going both ways. So we can't sit there and say, oh, America's hands are clean. We never do those things. Yeah, we did. And we probably still do.
I wouldn't doubt it at all. There's no question about it. Dr. Dimmer is nodding his head. What you got to say, Dr. Dimmer? Come a little closer to the mic.
Well, I was going to say, I have a good friend of mine who's a rabbi. And she asked me once, she said, do you think there'll ever be peace in the Middle East? And I said, excuse my language, I said, hell no.
Not in our lifetime.
I said, they're never. And I said, they're brothers and sisters. They got the same bloodline.
Right.
How do you think there's going to be peace everlasting here in the United States? It ain't going to happen.
Mm.
It's not going to happen. The revolution is not going to be televised. I'm telling y'all that. Mm-hmm. It's going to be live, and we're going to be there to see it happen, you know? It's going to get worse, Sam. It's going to get worse before it gets better. So you better get ready. Mm-hmm. You better get ready.
That's a sad statement of affairs, isn't it? Sad mm-hmm. statement of affairs. But look what who our leaders are, and I'm telling you, just like they fight over the one thing that was really important, that was the debt ceiling. And there are lies told about that. And the Republicans, they wanted certain concessions. They wanted this and that and the other. Now, keep in mind that when Trump was in the office, they raised it 3 times. Oh, they don't need anything else. And to the Democrats' credit, they went along whatever the debts are. Because let's face it, folks. What happens if you don't pay your bills? If you don't, just try it. Just try it. Okay. Don't pay your bill and see how much credit you're going to get, if you can get any at all. And so as someone whose job or work is in the financial industry, I'm going to tell you, the stock market would have gone haywire Okay. Interest rates would have climbed to unbelievable, limits. Okay. It is just horrible. We're talking about, your bonds. I mean, just about anything they have to do financially. Jobs, we would have lost jobs. And I don't even see why these clowns even form their lips to even talk about. And then you also, now think about this. You had over 100, and you also had some Democrats. No, I'm sorry. There were 70 some Republicans and 46 Democrats that voted against it. Mm. Okay. So the Democrats, your hands aren't all clean. I want to know who those 46 clowns are. All right. Makes no sense.
Let me take you one step further, because you said, what happens if you don't pay your debts?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'll take you one more step forward. What happens if you spend money you don't have?
Uh-oh.
You've got so much money in your checking account, your savings account. You should live within your means. I know I do.
Uh-huh.
I think everybody should live within their means.
Absolutely.
Why is it that as a country, and again, both sides, I don't care where you're coming from, why is it okay to spend money we don't have and to borrow and borrow and borrow to the advantage of other countries like China?
Because it ain't their money. It's not their money.
Well, just more fundamentally than that. That is what America is. That is what America does to its own people. I dare you to go look up just become a part of some credit watch system, you know, one of those apps. Mm. The first thing they're going to tell you to do in order to improve your credit score, more than likely, is to get more credit.
Yep.
To use credit. Yeah.
And don't get, now keep in mind, you only make so much money. You only have so much that you can pay in your bills. Why is it that the people who have a lot of outstanding debts or the potential for a lot of outstanding debts get a better credit rating than somebody who doesn't have any credit cards at all?
That is an excellent point.
You would think the person who is not indebted to anybody would be a great credit risk. But no, you have you don't have a credit history or not enough of a credit history. We would like to see you have, you know, some debt and keep it for a long time. You know, like if you got a credit card for 20 years, oh, yeah, that's something that'll get you a higher credit score.
Isn't that something?
And then they want you, but they want you to keep the balance low. Well, hold on. So on the one hand, you want me to have a mortgage. You want me to have a car note. You want me to have a bunch of credit cards. And at the same time, you don't want me to pay it off, but you want me to have a small, it's economic slavery, folks. I don't care. There's no other way to put that, because all you are doing is working for them. You basically are giving away your money that you could be saving and paying interest on it. Do you know how long it will take to pay off a credit card if you're just paying the minimum balance?
Oh, it doesn't work. It does not work. It does not work. And I'm telling you, because, you know, I have one credit card, and I was in a department store the other day. Says, I was in Macy's. Say, you want a Macy's card? I said, nope, don't want it.
Exactly.
Because I know if I charge something, I'm going to have to pay it. What you say, Dr. Demery?
I said, they will call you nifty because it's going to take you 50.
Right. I went to lunch with a friend of mine, and she didn't have enough money to, you know, cash to pay for lunch. So she was going to use her credit card. I was like, don't finance the food.
And look at the interest.
You don't want to pay interest on this meal. I'll get you. Just don't worry about it.
And I'm going to tell you something, Mike. Now, what are credit cards right now? If you're getting a good rate on a credit card, is how much percent would you say, Ann?
22. What? 22, somewhere in there.
Is it?
It's in the 20s, isn't it?
Look, and you put your money in a savings account at the bank, how much interest you going to get?
None. Basically none.
Absolutely. I don't think, as a matter of fact, CDs went down at one time, 0.5%. That's for a CD.
And then they want you to leave it there for 5 years. For what?
so they can loan it out at 22%.
Exactly.
This is absolute.
No sense.
Absolutely, absolutely. So we're talking about, oh my goodness, I can't believe we're out of time. Folks, today, if you enjoyed the program, please let us know. Those are our friends on Facebook, on Twitter, on LinkedIn. Those of you who are listening on the app, I want to thank you so much for tuning in. Now, keep in mind, those that are on LinkedIn and Twitter and Facebook, we would love for you to join us, and download the app. Mike, let's see. Mike, you had something to say.
That's for Ann. That's private.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You guys can read it, but it's private.
Okay. Now, but anyway, LinkedIn, Twitter, Facebook, also Apple, just go to your Apple App Store and download. It's simple. Studio.w. Android is Studio W. And our website, internationally, throughout the world, Studio W.buzz. Studio W.buzz. All right. Also available on Alexa. So let's go around the room. Dr. Demery, where is the, Mentone Congregational Church?
We're at the corner of Barrel and Highway 38 in Mentone, California. Come, we'll feed you. You'll get challenged. I might piss you off.
Love it.
And I guarantee you, sometimes you will not agree with me, but you will be challenged. You will leave a better person before you came. You may leave pissed off, but you will be blessed, and we'll feed you on top of it.
Wow. And Wooten Taylor.
What time, Dr. Demery, what time is your church service?
10 a.m. Services every Sunday at 10 a.m.
Yeah. And Mike, don't drive too fast because you'll pass it. There's no stop sign.
Can I hitch my horse out there? I'll just ride my horse over there.
Look, there's a fence right around the church. You can hitch up to the fence.
Oh, there's a hitching post. Oh my goodness.
I'll just tie him off to the bumper of your car.
And let's talk about Teens Talk Truth and the Eating as an Act of Worship Ministry show. How do I get to listen?
Listen on Saturdays live right here on Studio W Buzz at 11 o'clock a.m. Central Time for the Eating as an Act of Worship Ministries radio show hosted by yours truly. We teach the biblical principles regarding the body, dieting, exercising, and maintaining a healthy body for the glory of God, followed by the Teens Talk Truth radio show hosted by my favorite young men on the planet, my sons AJ and Alex Taylor. They talk about hot topics affecting in our society today. So you don't want to miss it, folks. Saturdays are a whole lot of fun.
Yeah, a lot of fun.
If you haven't tuned in before, make a mental note to get it done. And don't forget, you can listen to us on Spotify as well as on iTunes. And go to the website, www.studiowbuzz.com. I almost said org, but because I'm thinking of eating as an act of worship ministries, and you can listen to the old archive shows,
right,
as well as, you know, listening to the Boomerang show. And for those of you who have been waiting, it is that time. Go to our website, www.eatingasanactofworshipministries.org, and sign up for the Eating as an Act of Worship Ministries health and fitness course. Classes are free, no registration fees or membership fees. The only thing you need is your Eating as an Act of Worship workbook, which you can get online at Amazon or BarnesandNoble.com. Classes will be held on Zoom, so space is limited. You'll want to sign up now. And classes begin August 21st, 6 o'clock p.m. Central Time. Go ahead and register today to save your spot.
Amen. All right. Oh, hey, Mike, I understand that you participate in a show called Mad Mike and Wild Will Coast to Coast. What is that all about?
Well, I almost got killed last Thursday. CeCe came on. Boy.
Yeah, CeCe did come on. Dr. Sims has come on for a while.
Yeah.
She
outed me because I think on one of the shows where I was mentioning something about dating and how, you know, I would date whomever, whatever. But I said something about the one lady I would never date would be a redhead. CeCe. She put that in her goodie bag, and I forgot I'd even said it. But yeah, she brought it up last Thursday, so she came on the air.
Yeah, she
and
did.
She thanked me publicly.
Yeah, wow. She did kind of let you have it, didn't she?
No, that's okay. It's all right. I said it.
You said it. You wanted to get a reaction.
Wild Will and Mad Mike, we do a unique, I guess is the right word to say, a unique mm-hmm. radio program in that we play music that you won't hear anywhere else. And I, and what I mean by that is you'll hear everything from classical to big band to Motown to country, Western, rhythm and blues, old rock, new rock. Mm-hmm. And we purposely mix it up and push. You might hear Willie Nelson right up against a classical song.
Wow. Yeah,
and we try to, and we do try to highlight, new artists that are up and coming or artists that are just now becoming famous or even the young people. I think, I've got one coming up next week. Probably I think she was 11 when she did this song on one of the contest shows. It's on the list there, I think from one of the previous shows that we didn't play, but, we have a good time doing it. William and I, poke a lot of fun at each other. And if Cece wants to come on or anyone else wants to come on and poke fun at us, we're all right with that. You know, we're big boys. We can handle it.
Yes.
So, tune in. It's 3 hours of really good music and hopefully, you know, sometimes we do some sad stuff. We had to obviously honor Tina Turner this past week, yeah. as many of the music programs here on Studio W have done. So we did our part on Coast to Coast, William and I, and combined and did a nice medley of her. Good job, by the way, William. Sometimes it's a little sad. Sometimes it's informational. Sometimes it's just good music and some laughs.
Well, you know, music, we talk about that, how it has a healing effect. Matter of fact, we did a Boomerang radio show on that, and it lasted a few weeks, didn't it, Ann and Dr. Demery? We talk about the power and the healing of music. We're going to get to that one day, but I love doing that. I love doing all of our music shows, and each of them are different. Sunday night, the jazzy one won't be with me tonight, so I'm just going to be taking requests. But Sunday Night Gold comes up in about 55 minutes. On Monday, we have the professor, Mr. Elroy Boyd III, professor of pop culture. And that's a different type of show as well. It's musicology, we say, with a heavy dose of serotonin. Well, we break it down. We go into, and we call ourselves sonic archaeologists, where we dig up the gems and serve it to you on a silver platter. In other words, we break the information down, we tell you the life, the legacy, who inspired these people. Now, Michael and I give you a little bit of that on Thursday night, but we go into detail on Mondays. That's Monday Night Madness. So throughout the week, folks, just check us out. Check us out on StudioWBuzz.com. On Thursdays, you can check out Mike and I, 8:15 on the East Coast, 5:15 on the West, and 7:15. Central Time. And if you are doing anything on Thursdays, just join us. Dr. Demery, join us on Thursdays. All right? You might be able to make a cameo or something of that nature. We'd love to have you guys. We love to have opinions because our audience love the show. And like Mike says, we will give you a variety of music. It could be classical. It could be blues. It could be jazz. We played some Bob Marley, some reggae one night, didn't we, Mike?
Yep, we actually have done some rap music, good stuff, not evil stuff. But and always, anybody that's out there, you can send William or I requests. We'll play what you want to hear.
Absolutely, we do that as well.
And we tell stories in between about our personal experiences with music or what we've learned in researching, because William and I do a lot of research for that show in particular, where we're looking at new artists and different artists. So we learn stuff. I know I do. Every week I learn something about music I never knew before. So we try to bring that to the front as well.
Right. And tell Andre if he want to hear some Marvin Gaye, let's get it on. We'll play that for him. All right.
Absolutely. You are never going to let me live that down, are you?
No.
You are not going to leave me alone about that. All right. All right.
Well, you told the story, right? I think he kind of wooed you with that one, didn't he?
Well, basically, back when you could put ringtones on your phone, Andre put the Let's Get It On by Marvin Gaye on my phone. And I happened to be in church one day when he called.
Oh, no.
It starts to play, and everybody's like, I'm trying my best to get this phone out of my purse, turn it off. It was so embarrassing. So now, you know, he's mad because my phone is on silent all the time. I'm like, I learned the hard way. You don't want this ring in the wrong place.
I've never met the man, but I like him already.
I tell you. Oh, that's a wonderful story. I love it. In church and Oh my God.
At the church.
Oh my goodness. Oh my. Hey folks. Hey, this has been the Boomerang Radio Show. Thank you so much for tuning in. We have a lot of fun on this show too. We also, but the main thing is that we bring serious topics that needs to be addressed. Sometimes you don't hear these, promoted or talked about as much in our mainstream media. You know, we say don't talk about a lot of things that's most important to us, but we try to bring you the facts, the information, and maybe some solutions, to these, issues that's going on. Hey folks, have a good night. Enjoy. Thank you so much. It's always a pleasure. Mad Mike, Mike Ward, Dr. Demery, and Wooten Taylor. And on behalf of you guys, and this is yours truly, William A. Brown. Hey, we're signing off now, but hey, go back, grab something to eat, and come right back. Because Sunday Night Gold is on the way. Hey, guys, thank you so much for everything you do.
Thanks, William.
My pleasure.
Bye, everybody. Have a blessed week.
Thanks, all.
All right. Oh, we'll be right back, folks. Sunday Night Gold up next right here on The Buzz, Studio W Buzz, your global radio network.